This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I found out from Randy. Between my stretching session, my right hand comes to me and say, Magic just stepped down. And I'm like, man, get the out of my face, you. I go check my phone. I look at it. This happened. Personally, for me, I came here to be a part of the Lakers organization, having a conversation with Magic. So it was just weird for him to just be like, I'm out of here. And not even have no like, hey, Bron, kiss my ass, I'm gone. It wasn't even that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
LeBron James airing his innermost thoughts and feelings about the turmoil with the Lakers on his show, The Shop, on HBO. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So no Magic Johnson, yes LeBron, and now finally a coach. But man, that took a while. We're pleased to welcome Kyle Goon, who covers the Lakers for the Southern California News Group. Kyle, thanks for a couple of minutes. Why Frank Vogel to coach the Lakers?
Yeah, Amy, I mean, I think... it's interesting. I mean, you know, ever since things broke down with Ty Lue on Wednesday, I think the Lakers were in a little bit more of a scramble. I mean, you saw them do interviews with just four candidates over the span of 4 weeks. And then in the last 3 days, they've done two interviews and then very quickly targeted Frank as the best of that second round. So I think it was two parts. I mean, you know, Frank Vogel has qualifications. I mean, he's had success in Indiana. He went to two Eastern Conference Finals one time, pushed the Heat to seven games. And I think they kind of view him as a young coach who is competent and kind of versed in the X's and O's and can come in and kind of communicate. But I think also at the end of the day, when you view everything in context of what happened with Ty Lue, he was the best of the remaining options and just a guy who, you know, kind of helps cover for that failure to bring in the guy who won a championship with LeBron.
What does Jason Kidd have to do with all of this?
Yeah, I mean, Jason interviewed for the job, the head coaching job. And I think when you look at what you wanted on a coaching staff, I mean, I think you want a guy who's going to competently do the X's and O's and then bring your younger group along, because obviously the Lakers have Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and they have investment in developing that group. So I think Frank Vogel is in part for that, but then you also want a guy who can connect with LeBron and immediately walk in the room and garner the respect of LeBron. And Jason Kidd is that guy. They played together on Team USA. Obviously, Jason Kidd was on the team in 2011 in Dallas that bested the Heat. So LeBron knows him, has a relationship with him, respects him, and he'll have that cachet to kind of communicate with LeBron. Now, how far that gets him in the season is unclear. And then, obviously, the other dynamic where Jason Kidd has a coaching history and experience and has never been assistant before, and now just kind of slots in behind Frank Vogel as, you know, if anything goes wrong, I mean, Jason Kidd is an immediate heir apparent. It kind of creates that uncomfortable dynamic on the coaching staff. At least if it doesn't play out in reality between those two men, everyone will at least be expecting that to happen.
Then why not just hire Kidd?
I mean, the answer to that question is the insight into the Lakers front office and intelligentsia. You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's interesting because obviously Kidd, what's happening with the Milwaukee Bucks right now is an indictment on what Kidd did in Milwaukee, and just not being able to modernize and adjust his defensive scheme and find that sort of modern spacing that Mike Budenholzer has embraced. But you know, if it does beg the question, everything that the Lakers have done this weekend begs the question, if you believe strongly enough to bring in Kidd as an assistant, why isn't he your head coach? And honestly, Amy, I wish I could answer that question. Only the Lakers can. Mm.
Kyle Goon is the Lakers reporter for Southern California News Group with us here trying to help us understand, but I'm not sure there's any understanding what's happening with the team right now. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So is it safe to assume, although you know what happens when we assume, but is it safe to say that LeBron was consulted or involved in the coaching decision?
So, I mean, I guess my understanding is that, and other people have reported this. I mean, ESPN has kind of reported that LeBron hasn't wanted to get too involved in the search. And I get why that is because, you know, when that dynamic exists where teammates assume that one player has control over their futures and over, you know, their destinies, that's really uncomfortable in the locker room. And you saw this February how things devolved at a very critical time for the Lakers mm-hmm. when the chemistry in the locker room really was hurt by the perception that LeBron somehow wanted this trade to happen with Anthony Davis. And obviously he said to reporters that, yeah, it would be awesome to play with Anthony Davis. And I think that the weirdness of that comment and then the subsequent trade talks between the Lakers and the Pelicans just lingered and was really hard to overcome. So I think LeBron has this instinct that he knows how much power he has. He tries to not get involved as much as he can. But if you think that the Lakers hired a coach without, you know, at least giving a heads up, this is the guy we're looking at, and giving mm-hmm. a chance to respond, I think that's a little naive. So it's interesting. I think LeBron is in a weird corner where he has power. It's sometimes in the team's best interest that he doesn't exercise the amount of power he has. But obviously it's in everyone's best interest that the Lakers hire a coach that LeBron can deal with. And you know, I mean, at the end of the day, Frank Vogel tested LeBron's Heat teams with two Pacers teams that brought him to 7 games and then 6. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I think at least that's a baseline to start establishing that relationship. But it's definitely a weird situation given that just a week ago we all thought that the Lakers were preparing to hire a coach that LeBron had that relationship with and had that history with.
I mean, it's safe to say that if it's not LeBron wielding power, then it's his camp that does the talking for him. So either way, the word gets out about what he likes and what he doesn't like, not to mention the body language. And it's pretty, it's pretty obvious when he doesn't respect a coach. You can see it play out there on the court.
Yeah, and that's happened before, but I think he's also sensitive to that. I think he tries to mitigate that. I don't think he rushes to, advocate for a coach. I mean, mm-hmm. this last year with Luke Walton was sort of I would call it a lukewarm reception. LeBron never really said anything very extremely supportive of Luke Walton until the very end, when he kind of said, well, Luke did as well as he could. And that was the most support that LeBron voiced for him all year. But he also didn't dismiss him, didn't disparage him. I know, obviously, things broke down with him and David Blatt back in 2015, 2016, and they never rubbed the wrong way. I wouldn't say his relationship with Luke Walton was like that, but I think it was, at the very least, a little distant. And he didn't embrace him. But I also don't think LeBron is in a place where he wants to actively torch, you know, the coach that he's about to have. And,
sure.
And I mean, I think we would all know, I think the organization would know if LeBron couldn't abide the Lakers passing on Ty Lue and couldn't abide them kind of not being able to come to terms with them. I'm sure it was surprising. I'm sure, and at some level it had to be a disappointment, but I think we would all know if LeBron was so angry that he just couldn't hold it in.
Kyle Goon is with us from Los Angeles, covers the Lakers for Southern California News Group. Here it's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So obviously they've got some roster holes. that they want to fill, and they've got money to spend. That's the position that Magic Johnson was trying to put them in. And I keep hearing this persistent little whisper about a potential reunion between Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, which is interesting. But Kyle, what do you know about who the Lakers will pursue in the offseason?
I mean, I think at the very baseline, I mean, I think it's obvious that they need shooters. You know, really none of the guys that they bring back were reliable shooters last year. I mean, Brandon Ingram hardly shoots threes. Kyle Kuzma had a low percentage. Josh Hart's percentage fell off. Lonzo, I mean, there's pretty well-documented struggles for him with his whole shooting motion. I mean, they need spacers. They need guys who can clear the lane because they got guys who can charge into the basket, guys who can finish at the rim. They just need guys who can space it out and make this more of a modern offense. You know, last year they kind of went all in on playmakers. We want guys who can pass. We want guys who can handle the ball. And it just didn't work because they didn't have enough spacing and the lanes got all clogged. And at a certain point, defenses could counteract their offense by letting their shooters shoot. So they got to figure out a way to add space in the floor. I mean, obviously the Lakers are always going to be on the lookout for big free agents.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you just mentioned the rumor with Kyrie, which is obviously gaining steam. you know, I can't speak to that. My personal just sort of pet thought is that more so than re-pairing with LeBron, Kyrie admires and perhaps wants to emulate LeBron. So I don't know if that brings him back into that wing or if he wants to be his own man. I think at the bottom line, what the Lakers need is shooters, and that's going to help them and give them the most flexibility going forward. Whether or not they get one of the big free agents or not, if they add some big-time shooters, that'll be a big boost for their team.
Really quick, any chance they're going to try with Anthony Davis again?
I mean, I would think they would.
Okay.
I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of teams who are going to be interested in Anthony Davis. And I think that's their biggest trouble because when you look at what they offered this summer, I mean, they offered pretty much everything on the table, right? Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo Ball, in addition to some other pieces. But that package has been complicated by Brandon Ingram getting his blood clot. Now, Brandon doesn't have the same all indications are they doesn't have the same condition as like a Chris Bosh whose health really forced him to retire. So They're anticipating that Brandon's issue is recoverable, that he'll be
okay.
able to play. But I think executives in this league, you know, you can't really bet on that. I think Brandon Ingram's most value right now is to the Lakers. I don't think he has a higher trade value than he did at the trade deadline in February. So
okay.
I think the Lakers package is weakened. And I think if you look around the league,
I just have about 10 seconds,
Kyle,
that
are going to want to improve.
Okay.
Including the Thunder, the Rockets, the Sixers,
10 seconds, Kyle,
the Celtics. It's just going to be crazy.
Yes. Okay. Sorry to cut you off, but I don't want to actually hang up on you. You can find Kyle on Twitter at Kyle Goon. Covers the Lakers. Never a dull moment. So follow him there with Southern California News Group. Great to have a few minutes. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Amy. Bye-bye.
There's so much to talk about. I just have questions upon questions upon questions. But yeah, who wants Kyrie? We'll talk Rockets next here after hours on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.